Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette. I'm with you once again via the courtesy and grace of ABC Radio. And it's my pleasure to look with you once again this Lord's Day morning to the Holy Oracles, the living Word of God, the Bible. My dear friends, we're continuing in Ephesians chapter 2. We've been talking about the marvelous grace of God as it's revealed to us in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 for a few weeks. And we want to continue to talk this morning about this wonderful gift of God given to us who receive it, who come to Christ, that is saving faith, a faith, the very gift of God, a supernatural grace and blessing that unites us to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we come out of our sinfulness and total depravity and inability to know God, and we come to Christ, and He makes us alive, and we trust in Christ, we believe in Him. And so, through Christ, we are those who come to God. That all happens by the marvelous grace of God, and we want to talk about that once again this Lord's Day morning. And so, my friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143. Learn more about Action International Ministries Uganda at www.actionuganda.net. And so, my dear friends, let us pray. Father of all grace, we thank You for salvation by grace through faith, the very gift of God given to us, not of works, so that we cannot boast in ourselves, but we can only boast in You and declare that You are God who has saved us. How wonderful Your grace is, O God. How delicious it is to our hearts. How sweet it tastes to us. How good the knowledge of God is. We praise You and we thank You for the Bible that reveals to us that You have done something remarkable and You have saved us. You have worked upon us, and we who believe in Jesus are Your workmanship. And so we are saved, and we rejoice in that today. Lord, open up the hearts of everyone who's listening to see Your sovereignty, to understand more about Your power to give good gifts, this grace which unites us to Christ, which we desperately need, that You do for us who are unable in ourselves that which is necessary for our salvation. Lord, we rejoice to be the objects of Your saving grace, those that You have worked upon, and have Your glory in all that happens now. Bless the dear people who are listening. Save and edify, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So, my friends, let's continue in Ephesians 2 in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. May the Lord add His gracious blessing to the word we have just received. My friends, I often like to read the writings of Christians who lived 400 or 500 years ago, primarily in Europe, but also in America, men who are called the Puritans. And they are called the Puritans because they sought to live holy and pure lives before God. These were revived Christians. The Spirit fell upon them in wonderful ways, and they had great insights into the Bible. They were blessed and gifted to be wonderful Bible expositors, teachers, and preachers. In fact, the Puritans are generally recognized as excellent Bible students and excellent ministers of the Bible. This was a particularly blessed time in the church's history because of the gifts and the blessing and the unction, the presence of God that was poured out during the times of the Puritans. And there was a great Puritan by the name of John Owen. John Owen was especially gifted in his understanding of the Bible and its teachings, the nature of God. And he wrote a book entitled The Holy Spirit many centuries ago. It deals with the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit. It is an exposition of the Spirit's name, that is, his character, his nature, his personality, dispensation, operations, and effects. And I've been reading some of this book recently, and it ties in so clearly. It relates very directly to what we have been talking about here in Ephesians 2, that faith is the gift of God, the work of God given to those who receive it. And so let me share some of John Owen's thoughts about this, and I trust that this will be helpful for you. I'm glad to share his thoughts with you because they are so blessed, so good, so helpful for us. And because of the ability that John Owen has, because of his giftedness, we begin to understand these things and we can see God's work in all of this, his sovereignty. And also because of the exposure that I believe the Ugandan church needs to the great writings of the past. And John Owen is a great example of a great writer of the past. And so he writes, "The work of conversion itself, and especially the act of believing or faith itself, is expressly said to be of God, to be wrought in us, to be given to us by God. The scripture says not that God gives us ability or power only to believe, namely, such a power as we may make use of if we will or otherwise, but faith, repentance, and conversion themselves are said to be the work of God. Thus the Apostle speaks, Philippians 1:29, to you it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. To believe on Christ expresses saving faith itself. This is given to us. And how is it given us? Even by the power of God working in us to will and to do of his own good pleasure," verse 13. "Our faith is our coming to Christ, and no man says he can come unto me except it be given him of my Father," John 6:65. "In ourselves, we are utterly destitute of power for this end. No man can come to me. However, men may be disposed or prepared, whatever arguments may be used with them, yet no man of himself can believe, can come to Christ, unless faith itself be given to him, that is, wrought in him by the grace of the Father," Colossians 2:11. This is again asserted both negatively and positively, Ephesians 2:8. "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Our own ability, be it what it will, however assisted and excited, and God's gift are here distinguished. If it be of ourselves, it is not the gift of God. If it be the gift of God, it is not of ourselves. And the manner how God bestows this gift upon us is declared in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ. In like manner, God is said to give us repentance," 2 Timothy 2:25 and Acts 11:28. "This is all we plead for. God, by the exceeding greatness of his power, actually works faith and repentance in us, gives them to us, bestows them on us, so that they are mere effects of his grace in us. And his working in us infallibly produces the effect intended, because it is actual faith that he works, and not only a power to believe, which we may exert or not as we please." And so, my friends, we see that Owen tells us clearly here, and I believe so correctly, that faith is the very gift of God. It's not just a gift which we could exercise or not. It is a gift that we do exercise, we who receive this gift, faith or saving faith. Interesting that Owen comments, too, that repentance is also God's gift to us. It is another spiritual grace or blessing which God wrought or works into our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And so, wonderfully, we see here that it is by God's grace that we have been saved through faith, and that this faith is the very gift of God, that grace doesn't come to us through works. No, grace is a gift of God given to us that we simply receive. None of this, grace or faith, is of ourselves. It is the gift of God, so that no man can boast. And so, my friends, we said last Lord's Day, and it bears repeating, that in balance to this wonderful truth that God is sovereign in giving to his children faith and repentance, that we are also responsible to believe in God, and that indeed the faith that we receive is personally exercised by ourselves, so that every man is directed by the Bible to exercise faith in God. Those who do and who obey the commandment to exercise faith in God are saved from their sins. And so God works sovereignly, but every man is directed, that is commanded, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in 1 John 3, the very commandment of God to all people to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and so be saved. Great balance here. Human responsibility and God's sovereignty. That is exactly what the Bible teaches us page after page. And so, my friends, we are blessed by this gift of salvation. It changes us. And so it is that God in his wonderful power has worked upon us. There in verse 10, we are his workmanship. And God has created us in Christ Jesus for a purpose. Now let's consider this wonderful truth a bit more this morning, that we are God's workmanship. Really, this speaks of God's work in us to bring us to Christ, to draw us to Christ, the work of his Spirit to bring truth to us through the witness of other Christians and through the Bible. And even through circumstances, God ordains, he sets, appoints the circumstances that are necessary in this preparatory work of our coming to Christ. And you might remember how it is that before you were saved, God began dealing with you in various ways to step by step bring you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to bring you to salvation. This is the work of God. And it is the work of God to regenerate us, to cause us to be born again. God works to give us the gift of faith and repentance, which he requires of us. God unites us to Christ and so brings us to himself. God does this. This is his work. And then God sanctifies us. That is, that he teaches us the truth about himself, about Christ, and he causes us to obey the word of God. He sanctifies us. He sets us apart. He makes us holy in this real practical way. Though we are not sinless, because there is sin yet remaining in us. We call that indwelling sin. But God progressively brings us into a greater Christ-likeness. We call that growth in grace, Christian maturity. We grow more and more fully into the image of Christ as we are daily sanctified. The Bible is so important in this as the Spirit works to sanctify us. God preserves us in grace. And then finally, God glorifies us. That is, he removes sin from us completely. We come into his glorious presence without sin spiritually. And then we are resurrected at the last day and our glorified bodies are joined with our spirits. And we are presented to God by Christ in this glorified state of perfection. And so this is our happiness, isn't it? This is our joy that God is working in us. Rejoice today in God's workmanship in you. Grace is God's work from first to last. We are justified, that is declared righteous by God. The righteousness of Christ is imputed, counted as ours. That is all the work of God's grace. We are sanctified, the work of God's grace. We are glorified, the work of God's grace. And so we are the people that God has desired to work upon. We who believe in Jesus Christ, we have been born again. There it's called being created in Christ Jesus. We are new creatures in Christ. Rejoice that God has made you to be a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we see in verse 10 that God has a great purpose in that. And so those that he has saved, his workmanship, these people called also the elect of God are saved, justified, sanctified, glorified, so that God leads us in this world in good works, in good works. Now, let me just share with you, my friends, a bit more about saving faith and its connection to good works. We find this in a great creed that is a statement of faith. It's called the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. And section 14 deals with saving faith. And we're going to see the connection here between saving faith, as I've been describing it to you, and good works. Let's begin in number one. The grace of faith whereby the elect are enabled to believe to the saving of their souls is the work of the Spirit of Christ in their hearts and is ordinarily wrought by the ministry of the Word, by which also, and by the administration of baptism and the Lord's Supper, prayer, and other means appointed of God, it is increased and strengthened. And so this means that the elect, the chosen people, the new creation, receive by the Spirit of Christ saving faith into our hearts, and it usually comes to us through the Bible, the ministry of the Word that is taught and preached. God builds faith in us through the Bible. And it is through the Bible, the preaching and teaching of the Word, through the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and through the means of prayer and other godly means, that this saving faith grows, it is strengthened and increased. And so you see, my friends, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Number two, by this faith, again, saving faith, a Christian believes to be true whatever is revealed in the Bible, and that this is by the authority of God himself. He also apprehends an excellency therein above all other writings and all things in the world. That is, that one who receives saving faith is able to see the excellency and the truth that the Bible is indeed the very infallible, sufficient Word of God. Solely sufficient, completely perfect, infallible. The Word of God bears forth the glory of God and his attributes, that is, his characteristics. The Bible shows the excellency of Christ in his nature and offices, and the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit in his workings and operations, and so is enabled to cast his soul upon the truth and believes the truth and actually acts upon the truth, and so it is that he comes to obey the commands of God. He is fearful at God's threatenings. He embraces the promises of God for this life and the life to come. And through the principal act of saving faith, he has immediate relation to Christ, and he accepts, receives, and rests upon Christ alone for justification, sanctification, and eternal life, all by virtue or because of the working of God in the covenant of grace. This faith, although it be in different degrees, it may be strong or it may be weak, yet it is in the least degree different in the kind of its nature as is all other aspects of saving grace from the faith and common grace of temporary believers. And therefore, though it may be many times assailed and weakened, yet it gets the victory, growing up in many to the attainment of a full assurance through Christ, who is both the author and finisher of our faith. And so this says in part number three that I just read to you, that saving faith, though it be weak or strong, and there are varying degrees of it, at times our faith is weaker or stronger. Some have a stronger faith than others, but nevertheless, that this faith is an enduring faith. It is not the temporary faith of those who are not saved. And so it continues and it gains victory constantly. And for many who have this saving faith, there is a full assurance, that is a complete confidence that they are saved by Christ, who has given them saving faith. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Now, the connections with good works that we find there in verse 10 is that those who have saving faith are those then who work for God or who live an obedient life and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. In obedience to Christ, they are holy in their character, and they serve Christ in ministry. And so, this is good. We have some definition and some comment about it. Saving faith leads to good works. We find this in Article 16 of the London Baptist Confession of Faith. Number one, good works are only such as God hath commanded in his holy word, and not such as what, without the warrant thereof, are devised by men out of blind zeal or upon any pretense of good intentions. In other words, the Bible defines for us what good works are. Number two, these good works done in obedience to Christ's commandments are the fruits and evidence of a true and lively faith. And by them, believers manifest their thankfulness, strengthen their assurance, edify their brothers, adorn the profession of the gospel, stop the mouths of the adversaries, and glorify God, whose workmanship they are, created in Christ Jesus to good works, so that they have their fruit unto holiness, and the end of their lives, they have eternal life. They have the end, eternal life. Number three, their ability to do good works is not at all of themselves, but wholly from the Spirit of Christ. And they have been called thereunto, that is, unto these good works. Besides the graces that they have already received, there is the necessary and actual influence of the same Holy Spirit to work in them, to will and to do his good pleasure. Yet they are not to grow negligent in these good works, but they are bound to perform these duties. And the Spirit works upon them to do these things so that they must be diligent and stir up the grace of God that is in them and obey God in these good works. And so, my friends, we see here that these good works do not merit salvation, that they are in obedience to God, that they fulfill God's purpose for us. And as we see in verse 10, the purpose God has and the appointment of the things that he guides us to do in terms of obedience and ministry, all defined by the Word of God, God prepared beforehand, that is, in eternity past, that we should do these very things. And so that's more comment for us from the London Baptist Confession of Faith. Let's just try to flesh in this, fill this in a bit more so we have a better understanding. Verse 10 is telling us that we are God's workmanship. He created us in Christ Jesus for the purpose that we obey Christ and so show forth good character. We are holy, not perfectly, but really and truly. That is, we are sanctified, set apart to God, and that we obey God. And so it is that our character reflects the workmanship of God, and our ministry reflects the workmanship of God, so that Christ commands us to be holy, and Christ commands us to serve God in specific ministries and ways. That's detailed for us in the Bible. He commands us to show mercy to others. And so part of the good works that are fulfilled in us, appointed by God for us, are works of mercy. Part of the work that he appoints for us to do is to serve in the church. Some of us are called to the ministry of the word, of preaching and teaching, and in leadership in the church. All of us are called to some service. We are commanded to love our neighbor because we love God, and so we are commanded to serve our neighbor. That means that our ministries are also comprised of loving our neighbor, doing good to others, evangelizing, showing kindness to them, helping them in their troubles, again, showing mercy to them. And so we are called to good character, obedience to the word of God, to be sanctified, set apart to God in holiness, and to serve God in specific ministries. And so, my friends, all of that which defines Christian living is appointed for us by God, we see there in verse 10, prepared in eternity past for us. The real practical meaning here is that God has determined before we are created that we are to serve him and to obey him and to do certain things for him. We are saved and we find ourselves wanting to do these very things, to obey God, to love him, to serve him in ministry. That's because God has appointed us to fulfill this work. And so you see the sovereign Lord working again. He saves us. He sets us into a course of obedience to Christ, love to God, godly characters is formed in us and maintained. We are preserved in grace, and we begin to serve him in ministry. All of this is prepared in eternity past for us so that we should walk in them. That means that we live in this course of life, obedience to Christ, holy living, and ministry. And so we fulfill God's appointment for us as we trust God because of this gift of saving faith. Wonderful truth here, my friend. Walk in the good work that God has appointed for you, prepared beforehand for you, and rejoice in God. And let me just give you a final encouragement and application. Fill up your life with the worship of God, with the word of God, with service to God. Go out today and, because of love for Jesus Christ, serve someone and minister to others, because God has appointed for you this wonderful ministry of loving God and loving your neighbor. You will be blessed and rejoiced as you reach out in ministry to the living God. He has appointed this for you. He is guiding you in it. He will bring you into it. And so follow his leading and rejoice in the Lord. And so, my friends, this ends our time this morning, but may the Lord of glory and grace bless you. If you have questions about this, give us a call. Our number, 0782-652-143. Amen. Father, we thank you for the precious truth we've received today. Bless it to my hearers' hearts. Make it clear and very understandable to them. We rejoice in your sovereignty. God, I rejoice that I've just now walked in a good work which you had appointed for me from before the foundation of the world in the preaching of the word of God. I thank you, Lord, and I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so until next Lord's Day morning, my dear friends, may the Lord of glory bless you.